Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus, and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. Hope you're all having a happy Monday. It's nice and sunny in the UK today, which is great. So a little bit of news before I introduce today's guests. So on the 22nd of this month, just a few days ago, London launched its Climate Week. So it's London Climate Action Week. And over the weekend, Restore Nature Now had a great big march and a gathering of people to really give nature a voice. Restore Nature Now says the natural world is in trouble and we need to take action. We want to see UK politicians show strong domestic and global nature and climate leadership by, and these are the five steps that we've got here. So giving a pay rise for nature, love that. Making polluters pay, yes, we know that needs to happen. Delivering more space for nature, putting a right to a healthy environment in law, and ensuring fair and effective climate action. Now, why are those steps important? So if you don't know, just think about for a moment, every single thing that you use in your personal life, in your business life, to sell, to make money, all of it comes from nature. Even if you're a service industry and you're just simply using energy and computers and everything else, it all comes from nature. But we've completely disconnected from that relationship, and we have abused nature, particularly in the global north, and benefiting and making profits from, you know, the very conscious, loving, abundant, thriving being that supports all life on this earth. So what I think is astounding about this is the news didn't cover it at all this March. There was nearly 150,000 people on the streets. There was hardly any coverage about it. So what is going on in our world where the economy is trying to push growth and push, you know, growth in money and growth in businesses, etc., etc., and yet this is all to the detriment of our beautiful planet that is providing all the materials. So those of you that are caring enough to make some, you know, really conscious changes to the world, then look into Restore Nature Now, look into what they are asking of us, and galvanize your communities, galvanize people around you, galvanize your friends and family and work colleagues, and really try and get them to understand that the quicker we can reconnect with nature, the quicker we can understand that we are part of nature for a start, there is no separation, then we might begin to solve this problem that humans are calling a climate crisis. I always wonder, is nature calling this a crisis? So that brings me nicely to today's guests. We have today with us two of the most amazing beings. They're described in information that I've looked up about them as Earth Elders. So I want to find out what Earth Elders is and what that might mean to them. But I'd like to welcome Geraldine and Mindahi, two guests from Mexico that happen to be in the UK at this moment. They are going to be joining us at our event at the Savoy Hotel tomorrow from 11 till 3 p.m. For London Climate Action Week on a panel called Voices for Mother Earth. Welcome, Geraldine and Mindahi. Thank you for coming to join me.
Thank you, Jarvis. Thank you so much for having us today.
Thank you. Thank you for being in this opportunity.
It's an absolute pleasure. I mean, I've only heard amazing things about you. We've been brought together by our dear friend Michelle over at OM, which is an organization that's galvanizing people and trying to support people in their communities. So may I ask you, you're described as earth elders. How would you describe an earth elder? And does that do you actually relate to that as a term, or what does it mean?
Yes, Earth Elders is a very important concept because are the spiritual leaders that are very close to this beautiful planet that we call Mother Earth. So the Earth Elders are the voices of the mountains, the voices of the creeks, the voices of the seas, the voices of Father Sky, the voices of other relatives, animals, plants, minerals. We are the voice of Mother Earth, in other words.
Beautiful, beautiful. I can totally relate to that. I trained with a female shaman indigenous to the UK for 14 years before I got into business, and all my training was about listening. It was becoming still enough through yoga practice and meditation and other practices in order to be able to assimilate my vibration with nature's vibration, and then she started to communicate, and now I'm able to articulate what she seems to be telling us. Is that a fairly good description?
Yes,
Yeah, Jody, you're nodding, which is
yes,
brilliant.
it's a very good description because it's the sacred relationship with mystery, with life. Because we can explain so many things about life, but so many things are not to be explained in a rational way of being. Because, mystery is all what brought us here to this planet as human and as just another species. So yes, that's the very deep connection with life and what life means, because life is not just the material. Life is also the energy and the spiritual, what we don't see, but we perceive, what we feel.
Thank you, thank you. I think my sense is, and Geraldine, you may be able to shed some light on this, that this time, as critical as it is in the conscious to human beings evolution, i.e., we are aware that there are big changes going on the earth, that there is this thing that it's being labeled as a crisis. Ecosystems are breaking down, biodiversity loss, toxicity and pollution seems to be to the detriment of what nature is brilliant at doing, which is thriving. So if the science is correct, humans are having a massive, massive, massive impact on that. But at the same time, might it be possible that we collectively have agreed to this process in order for us to evolve, maybe universally, maybe spiritually, maybe cosmically, earthly, who knows? But what would you have to say on that? What does it feel like's happening?
Yes, there has been prophecy relating to these times, whereby over the last cycles of, let's say, that the Olmec and the Maya already envisioned, and the Otomi Toltec as well, they saw that we would come to this point in our co-evolution with the cosmos and with Mother Earth that would give us a chance to jump into a new level of consciousness very fast. And it would be precisely because we would be facing, as though we were in a mirror, we would be seeing the reflection of what has been going on in ourselves. And that we would see that need to connect and fine tune into what is the most more ethereal way of being here. And that does require deep listening. That does require becoming very humble and unlocking fields of energy and of information that have always been there, and that only now, when we decide to detach from all that is toxic and all that is just filling our brains with extra information that does not make any sense anymore, will we be able to enter this field of unity, of love and harmony, and so help Mother Earth to rise to this next level of co-creation and co-evolution.
Beautifully articulated. Thank you. Thank you. You're an expert on, is it, excuse my ignorance, but is it the Mayan and the Aztec timelines, the calendars, the wheel of time? I remember there was a moment, was it in 2013, when apparently the calendar was coming to an end, and we all weren't sure what was going to happen, and actually very little happened in the grand scheme of things. Is Tell us a little bit more about that. Tell us a little bit more about the culture and how they understood timelines and how they understood the rhythm and the balance. And then Mindahi, I'd like to come to you next and just find out about your background. Your where you're from. How were how were you brought up? How did you connect with this intelligence and wisdom that you seem to be connected with? So, Geraldine, let's start with your bit of background on you, because I think we've opened this up beautifully about where we're going. So, let's go back to the start.
Okay, so I was born from Chilean parents, raised in Gran Canaria in the Canary Islands. This is where the Huanche peoples once lived and thrived. And they were holding on to precisely these cycles of nature in a beautiful way. Then I moved to Chile and eventually met and fell in love with Mindahi, who is from Mexico, the highlands of Mexico. I always wanted to be a someone who could work and live with people who were very close to Mother Earth and her cycles. And this is how I became an ethno-ecologist and eventually ethno-astronomer or a cultural astronomer. And I'm also a mother. We are parents to Xiye Bastida and Anzaki Bastida, both beautiful souls who seem to very intentionally have chosen their parents and who actually were masters of my research about what it was that the Mesoamerican peoples back some 2,500 years ago chose as reference to huge cycles and smaller cycles and life cycles for human beings. They both taught me about Moon and Venus in very effective ways as I was pregnant with them. And it was precisely Moon and Venus that the Olmecs chose as those two life cycle markers. And they are the ones that were considered when designing this huge wheel of time. It's not a timeline, it's not a straight line, it's rather a cycle that brings Moon and Venus back into the same position and configuration in the sky. That happened on May the 3rd of 2013,
Ah,
and
okay. Hence the.
not in December of 2012.
Oh,
And
2012, that's right. Yes,
yeah.
that was the magical year. Excuse me.
But in fact, 2013 that you pronounced is the right year.
Ah, interesting. Maybe I was kind of receiving the clear clarity on information.
Yes, and May the 3rd, it's also for all the hemisphere, the northern hemisphere seems to be very relevant as a time when we're celebrating the coming of the rains, and all the crops are going to be thriving from now on thanks to the rains. And so until today, it is a day where many people will go to the high peak mountains and will look into the west to inaugurate that beginning of the rainy season, because the bright star is there in that liminal space between the daylight and the night, and that is Venus, which will be showing itself on the northernmost position on the horizon. And this, therefore, was a marker to that onset of the rains, and many monuments and sacred sites would be lined up and tuned in to that moment. And yeah, there's so much only in that that we can today still connect, and communities do so. It's a moment for reflection and being thankful for the agents of the rains and of the crops, and it's a moment for reflection about how we are the connectors, and we are able to, in a way, co-participate in that recreation of the generation of life and the abundance that this will bring because we're connected so strongly to these elements.
It's very, thank you for that. It's beautiful. It reminds me of my trip to Mexico, starting off at Mexico City and visiting the temples there, and then moving right across the country, to I can't even remember the names, Tonina and San Cristobal and Chichen Itza and all of those beautiful magical places. And where Mindahi, I don't want to rush you because that's not what we're about, but in a couple of minutes we do need to move to a commercial break. But if we could just begin your journey, then we'll just very quickly go to a commercial break, and then we'll come back to the story afterwards. So just to give you a pre-warning.
Thank you. Yes, as you said, my name is Mindahi Bastida, and I was born in central Mexico. I am a member of the Otomi Toltec peoples. And actually, in 1994, I was elected a traditional authority of the Regional Council of Original Peoples of the Otomi Toltec. So I was born in a very large family. I got 9 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
So it's a large family. And I learned from my grandfather, from my grandmother, from my father's side, but also from my mother's side. I learned other knowledge, other ancestral wisdom. She comes from the Chichimec Otomi culture, from also from central Mexico, but in the north west of the Hidalgo state. So I was born in a beautiful hut of bulrushes. All my communities was an island before. And I like to go back to this later on because it's a beautiful and very hard story of my own, but we are connected still to the deities, entities, and all what it is meaningful in this life beyond sustainability.
Very nice, very nice. Perfect. That was absolutely perfect timing. So we're going to cut to a commercial break. And we'll come back to you both in a minute. Everybody that's listening, don't go away. This is going to be fascinating, and it could really awaken, that connection within you. We'll see you shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. I'm here talking to Geraldine and Mindahi, two of the Earth Elders that are re-spreading, if you like, the wisdom and the intelligences and the natural connection to nature in the best way that they can, using media and speaking at events. We're just in the conversation with Mindahi just about his background and his childhood. When did you find out, Mindahi, that, you know, that the sacred was a path for you, that the ancient wisdom was important for you to become a voice for, and what did that entail? Have you studied or trained, or have you had a teacher, or has nature been teaching you? How's it evolved in your life?
Yes, the first signal, it was when I was a little one. I was aware of there were other cultures before our community was growing up, because I saw when in the fields, in the cornfields that we call milpas, you know, when it was prepared the land, I saw these figurines, these relics, these little faces. So I was picking them up and bringing to the altar, because something has happening or happened to me in my inside that I felt this sacred connection. And ever since I said, oh, this is a message from the land, from the cornfield, but it's a message beyond. A beautiful message, because that connection gave me like the direction. But later on, my grandfather and my grandmother began to teach me in several ways. But I remember that when I was 5 years old, I began to go to school, to the elementary school. And they began to teach me through a beautiful sacred book that spoke about the earth and the sky and the cosmos, how we are just related, and we are the reflection of the sacred elements, and we are the reflection of the universe in this microcosmos. I didn't understand what I was reading at that time, but I'm beginning to understand. But the wisdom is that we live in the cycles of life. We live with this nature, with this earth as a mother. So in other words, we live with, in sacred relationship.
Mm.
So I began to think about that, because most of the Western societies, you know, they live from, instead of taking care, is the taking over. Sometimes people say, what is your takeaway? But what is that, what you bring? Because one of the instructions, the original instructions, to give back, that way of reciprocity.
Yeah.
So all of those teachings, my grandfather, my grandmother began to teach me that I needed to pay respect to the elders, to the others, mm. and also to live in this constant reciprocity. That's the reason I always bring the compadrazgo system. What it means? It means that among families, members from other families, they become family. But not just that, but also the animals, the plants, and as you know, there are special plants, special animals, that they are very powerful, and they are in their lineages, and we represent them as well. So we have a special connection. So we are family. Mm-hmm. That's the reason we say all our relations. And yeah. The relations not only with the animals and the plant, but also with the minerals and the crystals.
Yeah.
So that's how we live in this harmony in this sacred responsibility.
Yeah.
So those were the teachings that I began to understand, and more than understand, to feel and act in consequence.
Yeah.
Because we cannot take more than what we need.
I mean, that's the level of abuse that we've got to now, isn't it? That it's funny, you know, what you're talking about is and I understand a little of this, but the kind of indigenous cultural relationship that is still very much alive, thankfully, there are still communities out there that have kept this relationship alive, and you are clearly both part of that. But I say to people, in order to try and trigger an awakening within them, that, you know, you've got to remember everybody on this planet is indigenous. The problem is that we've been forcefully stripped away from our indigenous relationship through the indoctrination of big business, religion, politics, you know, whatever you want to call it. We're born into a system that is actually trying to keep us disconnected from that, those indigenous sacred spiritual ways, right? So I do understand that, and I think it's magical. But my question, maybe not quite yet, but I will ask it to you shortly, is, you know, if this is an innate truth in us, which it certainly seems to be, because when you speak to people about it, they seem to kind of soften with the truth. Why is it that we are still so forcefully believing in the lies that seem to, you know, permeate through the media and, you know, modern society and everything? Why is it that we're not able to reconnect back with these truthful, natural, sacred ways within us? Do you get a sense? Do either of you get a sense of that? And who might be best to answer that?
Well, I can say that human beings, we are intelligent, and sometimes very intelligent. And it's true.
A bit too intelligent.
But it's not the whole truth. We are not so intelligent.
Yeah.
There's intelligence in every single being in this world. The problem is that we feel that we are the peak of the creation, because so many, even holy books, even science, they say, oh, yes, we can rationalize almost everything. We can understand, we can, you know, study in a disciplinary way of thinking. But it's not enough. Life is not disciplinary, or not just disciplinary. It's intra-disciplinary. And that's the reason this ancestral wisdom is so meaningful, because, you know, there is a lot of information in the world, and now even more with the devices that we use. And the knowledge is very well departmentalized, but this knowledge is also, you know, in service of the dominion or domination, you know, because science is not neutral. Science has its own purposes to take over as well. So what do we need? We need to be more humble, as Damishi said, Geraldine. Also, we need to call back for wisdom. And not whatever wisdom, the millenarian or millennia wisdom that we hold as original nations and peoples. Why is it so important to call for ancestral wisdom? Because if we want to see the future, we also need to honor the past. There's no other way. Because we have to walk the steps of our ancestors if we want to make it. Because we want to see the human beings to flourish once again. But we are not doing what we have to do because of this disconnection with nature, with the sacred, this disconnection with our responsibilities in this world.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. I do want to Oh, you made me get a horse in my throat because, I do want to honor the fact that, many of the indigenous peoples of our world, particularly in the global south, but of course they're indigenous in other areas as well. Their communities, their land, their families, has been, for want of a better word, abused by the global north and by rich countries. And, England is, I come from an Indian family that was had to leave India, flee India through the partition because of, the British, and ended up in Africa and then had to flee Africa and ended up then in England. So, I do come from that lineage. But do you feel, and Geraldine, I'd quite like to ask you this question. Do you feel that the voices that you have, the wisdom and intelligence and connection that you are able to offer to this story that is happening in the world, do you feel like it's being listened to? Do you feel like there are people that make decisions at a very high level, which are these, kind of pretty arrogant leaders, actually, in the grand scheme of things? Do you feel like you're being heard, or do you feel like there's more, more that we can do? I'm just interested because it doesn't feel to me like anything's changing or getting any better. In fact, things are getting much, much worse. So what's your kind of take on that, and how does that relate to the timelines that you're so clued up about?
So you know how in all creation stories, there are covenants that were made. We know that there were covenants, agreements with Mother Earth, with all these beautiful deities, in a way, the water spoke to the Kogi, and she's the mother, and so forth. There's so many stories about star beings and Mother Earth as a turtle, and they were all speaking, and there are clans who follow precisely that agreement and try to be trustworthy of that agreement with the buffalo or with so many.
Yeah, like the white buffalo being born again, and these various, stories that are, yep.
And as that is trying to be maintained as faithfully as possible, there's also this lineage of people who have other kinds of agreements. And those are about maintaining the dominion, maintaining the wealth just amongst a few. And these agreements are along straight lines that go centuries ahead of us here standing today. And so we have heard stories of people who are right there in this handful of very, very wealthy families who, with tears in their eyes, will tell people close to them that they do know the harm, the level of harm that their companies are producing to everybody and every ecosystem and every corner where their companies might be located. But how do they disentangle themselves from these agreements, from these, century into the future agreements? And this is where courage comes in. This is where the commitment with their loved ones comes in a totally new way. It's not going to be about money anymore. It's not going to be about the billions and trillions in the bank anymore. It's going to be about whether if they don't see beyond their family circle, it's going to be about their children and grandchildren. Will they have a joyful life? A thriving life? Will their their minds be in harmony with all that there is and the mystery that there is? And will their legacy be one of life or one of death? So these are the kinds of like very basic questions that every human being at the end of the day need to have with themselves, in their very intimate moments of self-reflection. And we do believe that everybody can go deep in and look into their inner soul and respond very humbly, detaching themselves from all that has, contained them in this very uncomfortable, let's say, container that they need to break altogether. Oh, yes, this is the
No,
challenge.
thank you. Thank you. I know it's a touching subject. It's a deep subject. We definitely don't have time here today to pick it up, but I would definitely like to explore it with you some more. Time flies. We have to go to another commercial break. It's just going to be a few minutes, so stick around. We're going to come back to Geraldine and Mindahi in a moment. I'm going to play two songs that they've brought to us that are, powerful songs for them that speak about this this time. But I'll see you back shortly.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
And welcome back, Geraldine and Mindahi. Now, you've got something, some art, some creativity, a film that is in the making. It's the story of the Earth Elders. Is that right? So, can you tell us a little bit about the film that you're making and why you're making it and what the message will be in the film?
Yes, for quite a long time we have been very silent. Most of the work we have been doing has been in, very humble and just trying to carry out this the work that we always do. As you know, 80% of biodiversity in the world is in our territories, but let's not take it for granted. It's a way of relationship with nature, is a way of relationship with the cosmos. So what it means is that we have so many teachings that we need to share with the general public. We need to share with the Western societies because we are living in such a crisis, very complex crisis, not just the material, like the climate change and the even the earth core that is heating up, or the solar flares that are affecting us,
Yeah,
but
they're
also,
getting really strong, aren't they, at the moment? They're really really causing us some awakenings.
yes, but not just that, but also the spiritual crisis that we have, and in between. And we think that the mental crisis that we have as human beings, thinking that we are the ones who are going to solve this problem alone, is not possible. It's not possible at this time. So we need to really come together and ask also support from the spiritual world. But first of all, we need to come together in this unification process. Governments, even corporations, NGOs, scientists, name it. We need artists. We need to come together because, of course, we can share this ancestral wisdom. But even sharing is not enough. We need to act. Because many people call for peace, but peace is really to act. And the time is now, because we are in such a, critical time. It's not just the heart, what we are feeling, as you know, the floods, the, you know, the earthquakes, and all the elements are speaking up.
Mm.
But are we listening?
Mm.
We are doing as if nothing is happening. But, you know, the floods are everywhere happening.
Mm.
And the fires and all of that. So what do we need? We need that these messages of the Earth Elders through a movie at least reaches the most we can. Because before we were very silent, we were doing our work, but we cannot do it alone anymore.
Mm.
We cannot take care about this 80%. And actually, we are not just taking care about 80% of biodiversity in the world. We are taking care about Mother Earth and all biodiversity.
Yeah.
When we pray, when we travel, when we walk here and there, we don't leave our beliefs over there. We don't leave our way of thinking and acting and doing. We carry out all of that. But this responsibility need to be not just shared, but need to be taken into consideration and in actions through public policy, through actions that in the, you know, in the institutions or corporations, they need also to act in such a way that they take care for the life.
Yeah, very, very important message. For anybody out there that's feeling inspired by Geraldine and Mindahi, you can go to theeartheelders.org. There's a website there. There's an opportunity for you to support the film. We're certainly going to be, over the next week or so, going to be engaging with our communities to try and raise as much funding as possible that we can, so we get this film made to the best, you know, to make it be successful. Because it's not just about the film, it's about the marketing and the rest of the noise and competing with everything else that's out there. It brings me nicely on. Thank you for talking about the film. I asked you to bring a couple of songs. I'd quite like to lighten up the mood a little, because I know it's tough. You've given us two songs. Who would like to play their song first? Which song would you like to choose first?
I would say All Nations Rise from Lila
okay.
June. Yes.
Great. So this is All Nations Rise by Lila June. And then you can tell me afterwards why you picked it, why this song is so special to you. Here we go. All Nations Rise. Wow, what a beautiful song. It feels and sounds like a prayer to me. Tell us why you chose that song, and maybe you could shed some light on its message.
Yes, I chose that song. Laila is a very close friend of us and dear sister. And what she's sharing with us is that we all are indigenous to this, that we are all have the responsibilities and the gifts. But, you know, in our tradition, we say that the gifts are responsibilities.
Yeah.
And we need your gifts. Everyone. We need to come together. And this is the time. The song is saying this is the time. And the time is now. So we can wake up.
Yeah.
And do what we have to do. But united, we are stronger.
Beautiful, beautiful. And that's such a perfect moment to you know, remind us all about, you know, we are, as you said, we're you know, nearly a 90% strong species with 10% controlling things, and that's completely ridiculous. So we need to stand up and be counted. Geraldine, we've got just a few minutes, you know, kind of five minutes really to the end of the show, but I'd love to play your song as well, just so we can get it in to the mix. Tell us the song that you've chosen. We'll hear it, and then afterwards you can tell me why you chose it. Thank you, Mindahi. That was very beautiful.
Yeah, so this is Shiu Tezcatl's song. He is like we say, a warrior of light. He's, this among so many of the young indigenous heroes of our times. And what he speaks is about coming back and being truthful to your community, to shine your light where it's most needed among your people, your pueblo, to reconnect with your roots. And in a way, what he's saying, there's some Spanish in there, but he's also speaking to those who are very cynical about what it might seem like, having this indigenous way of living the world, but not really doing the hard work. So he also says, I'm really trying my best to do all I can, and I really hope that you can walk in the best version of yourself, which requires that your roots need to grow and you need to go back to your land and your people and commit yourself fully and not partially. So yes, we love you.
Absolutely beautiful. There's a message in there for all of us. Mindahi and Geraldine, I'm going to play the song. I'm going to say goodbye to you. Thank you for joining us. I will come back very briefly at the end of the song, but this is Careful by, how do you pronounce his name?
Shoot, 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 test.
Shoo. Thank you. I was looking at it going, how do you pronounce that? Shoo. Thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you both tomorrow at our event, which I'll tell everybody about after the song. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What a beautiful song. Careful. We all got to be careful out there. Listen, that's the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Mindahi and Geraldine. So, those of you that have felt inspired or moved or touched or vibrated or shifted or transformed, we are going to be with Geraldine, Mindahi, and other Earthheld, other members of the Earthhelders crew, if you like, tomorrow at the Savoy Hotel, one of the finest venues in the whole of the world, the Savoy Hotel in London. We are holding an event called The Evolution of Sustainability and the Voices of Nature. It's free to come. All you have to do is go to Eventbrite, and search for Evolution of Sustainability at the Savoy. You can register for a ticket. I think we have about 80% tickets sold, so that if you're quick, you will get the last few tickets remaining. If you're in London and you're at a loose end, or you want to come and connect with the Earth Elders, and we've also got lead female leads from Google and Deloitte talking about the evolution of sustainability within their organizations, mental health and well-being. It's going to be full, it's going to be great, and you will get a cup of tea. It's been great. Thank you very much indeed. Lovely to have you all here. I look forward to seeing you all next week. Much love. And don't forget, it's London Climate Action Week. Do your bit this week for nature. We love you. We'll see you soon.